Welcome to Inclusive Occupations, sharing stories of not just being invited to the party, but dancing. I'm your host, Savita Sundar. I'm a school-based occupational therapist. This podcast is a space for OTs and others who work with children and youth in education to be informed, inspired, and empowered to create an inclusive community for the students they serve. Hello, everyone. In our show today, I am beyond honored to have a highly distinguished and world-renowned thought leader, author, and change maker, Mr. Feroz VR. When I heard about Feroz, I was, of course, fascinated by all his achievements and his leadership, which I will be talking about in a little bit. But when I Googled him up, I came across one of his talks on YouTube, which literally moved me to tears. The reason was realizing here is someone truly manifesting what many of us who work in special ed dream of for the children we serve. Oh, what if many Feroz's actually rise up in this world to make a difference in the lives of our kiddos? The impact that Feroz has had on the world of autistic individuals and his efforts to create an inclusive society is what brings him here to this podcast. Feroz, welcome to Inclusive Occupations. Thank you for taking the time to make a difference in ways big and small.
Thank you, Savita. I'm delighted to be part of your podcast.
Feroz is currently the head of SAP's Engineering Academy. He was the former vice president of Globalization Services at SAP. He is also the founder of India Inclusion Foundation, a world-class community-driven platform for creating awareness about disabilities and the need for inclusion in mainstream society. Okay, I'm going to take a deep breath and share some of his accomplishments because I think it is very important for everyone to know who we will be listening to. In 2014, Feroz was selected as India's top 40 under 40 by Economic Times and Spencer Stewart. He has authored several books, including the bestseller Gifted, which has been translated into 6 different languages. He piloted the Autism at Work project at SAP, which in 4 years evolved to become a Harvard case study. He is the person behind SAP's commitment to employ 1% of its workforce with autistic individuals. He has been bestowed with several awards and recognitions, including the Eagle Award by the Disability Rights Advocates, AUCD Award by Senator Tom Harkin, Lifetime Achievement Award for Global Philanthropy from TransPerfect, and the India Vision Award for Thought Leadership. Feroz, I am so thrilled to have you here with us.
Thank you, Savita. The pleasure is entirely mine. Please don't embarrass me with such amazing introductions.
Well, I just had to say the facts, so I really didn't have to do anything.
Thank you. I always jokingly say, Savita, that when these introductions are read, I wish my parents were listening because my mother would be... Actually, my father will be very, very proud and my mother will actually believe everything.
Well, he has to, right? Doesn't have a choice.
Thank you.
So now you are an IT person. You are a rising corporate star, and I'd love to hear directly from you about when, why, and how did your journey of advocacy for inclusion and disability awareness begin?
Yeah, I think that's a fantastic question to start this discussion, because it allows everybody to get a context of how it all began. And so I'll have to go back in time a little bit, Savita. So it all started in the year 2010, so almost a decade ago, when my son Vivan was diagnosed with autism. And he was, at that time, 18 months old. So in some ways, we were very fortunate that we got a diagnosis very early on. And especially people working in special needs will understand that getting an early diagnosis gives you a head start into, you know, trying to support them in the best possible way. So, you know, for me, I had no understanding of the disability space at all. I didn't have anybody in the family who were disabled. And so it was really starting from zero when my son's diagnosis happened. And like everybody else, I didn't even know what autism was. In fact, I like most people do, I went first to Dr. Google and Google what is autism, right? That's where my education about autism started, and it's been now almost a decade, and I'm still learning about the space, about inclusion, about how the society deals with it. And in some ways, I've been very fortunate that I've traveled around the world, so I have had access to the various practices about disability and inclusion around the world. And while I started a lot of my work in India way back in 2010, I moved to the US 6 years back so that I can provide a better education for my son Vivan. So I would say in many ways it was pretty accidental. I was kind of forced into the space because of my son's condition.
Okay, so your son opened up this world to you, and
Absolutely.
he, in fact, he showed you what your calling is in life, in a way.
Absolutely. In many ways, my mentor told me when I was at the lowest moment in my life, and I was really going through a phase of, denial and anger and depression, immediately after my son's diagnosis. I think she said, her name is Dr. Kiran Bedi. She said something which was very, very profound. She said, "Feroz, most people spend their entire lifetime not knowing what their purpose is. You are incredibly fortunate the purpose found you." So in many ways, even though I didn't realize it at that time, but disability and inclusion has become my purpose and my mission for life.
That's amazing. So tell us about the Autism at Work project that you started at SAP.
Yeah, so while I was, trying to understand autism primarily, to understand my son's condition and to provide him with a better quality of life, I did spend a lot of time talking to parents like me who had, autistic children, and in different age groups. And after talking to almost all, hundreds of parents, the thing that I realized, which kept all parents awake at night, was this very simple question: what happens to their children after they are gone? This seems to be the only, if I have to really boil it down to one thing, it was this one big question. And so I tried to dig deeper into that question to understand the reason for that worry. And it was nothing but the fact that many of the kids on the spectrum, or the adults on the spectrum, remain more or less dependent on their parents or their caregivers throughout the life. And so that is what kind of bothered or worried all these parents who had special needs children. And when I went, I was trying to peel off the various layers of this fundamental question. And you kind of keep peeling off one layer after the other, and you really understand what is the core issue. And the core issue I realized was that, at least in India, the numbers were pretty staggering, but the numbers are the same around the world. More than 95% of the people on the spectrum do not get meaningfully employed. Less than 5% have any form of employment. And so they do not become part of the mainstream society. And that is really the core reason. And so I asked, why are they not getting employed? And that's when I really, for me, the aha moment came when I found that while many of the people on the spectrum are very gifted in their own ways, but the society doesn't recognize their abilities. And the reason is because we live in a world which is which really focuses on a few things. And the first thing is you need to be a team player if you're working for any organization. And the second is you need to be very good with respect to your communication, right? Every job interview in the world will look at these two fundamental skills: your ability to work in team, your ability to, have a meaningful communication with your team members. And that's when I...
Social skills and communication.
Yeah, and so people on the autism spectrum just are not, many of them just cannot do these two things. And so they literally remain not part of the mainstream employment. And that was the thing that really I wanted to share. And I was very fortunate again to meet a Danish entrepreneur whose name is Thorkild Sonne, who's based in Denmark. And he had a son on the spectrum. He had the same problem. And he said, we have to change it. And so he started an organization called the Specialist Turn, which basically means the specialist. And he said, I'm going to hire people on the spectrum and, prove that they can add value to businesses. And so, I was so inspired by what he has done. I took a flight along with my chief of staff, went to Denmark, studied what they did. And I said, you know what? I think we can do this in India. And so that started in many ways. That was the roots of the Autism at Work program. But the first thing I did was hire three autistic employees at SAP Labs. This was when I was still the managing director. And, we proved over a period of 18 months that the work of these people on the spectrum were as good, if not better, than my engineers. So in many ways, that was the start of the Autism at Work program.
I see. Okay. So you went, you took a trip to Denmark.
Yes.
And you observed the program and then you came back to India and you implemented it and you proved success.
Yes. And of course, we started small. As I said, I must confess, when we did it, we never thought this would end up becoming such a worldwide movement. There were a lot of things that happened after that. And I say, we are all actors in a series of coincidences.
Well, I think it's the sowing the seed part. You took that one effort and then it's, and the plant grew, right? And it produced more than you could imagine. But you sowed the seed and that's what mattered at that point in time.
Absolutely. And again, the due credit has to be given to a lot of people in this journey because there were a lot of volunteers, there were parent groups. And of course, SAP as a company, we had the leadership will to make such a bold commitment. No company since SAP or after that in the last 10 years has come back with such a bold commitment to say, we are going to hire 1% of our global workforce with people on the autism spectrum. And this was when SAP was 65,000 people. So we said we'll hire 650 people by the year 2020, which I think is probably the most landmark announcement ever made by a corporate for a community ever.
That is amazing, and you sowed the seed for that in 2010. Yeah. So now, where does SAP stand in their employment of individuals? Have you met the target of 1%?
So I think the way I see it is, if I look at the numbers, end of 2020, Savita, we had hired 180 full-time employees in 20 different locations in 10 countries around the world. We had also hired and provided opportunities to more than 180 to 190 people as part-time employees. So they didn't become full-time employees, but they are working with SAP in different capacities. So I would say we've achieved probably 50% of the numbers we committed. But, we also obviously lost out the whole of 2020 and a lot of 2019 because of the, current pandemic and so on. So it kind of slowed down, especially in 2020. But I think the bigger success, Savita, for me is that because of SAP's commitment, there are hundreds of other companies who made a similar commitment to hiring neurodiverse people. Nobody said 1%, but, a lot of companies like JP Morgan, Goldman Sachs, Microsoft, all of them in many ways have their own Autism at Work program. So I think the ripple effect of what SAP did is way bigger than what we ourselves had committed. We were invited to the United Nations in 2016. And Ban Ki-moon, who was the then Secretary General, called other corporates to do similar commitments like SAP. So if I look at the larger effect of what SAP did, is that it had a massive ripple effect where autism at work actually has become a centerpiece for many, many corporates. And I'm very proud that other companies are probably doing more than what SAP had even committed. So in many ways, while SAP did not achieve its 1% target, I think if you just look at the ripple effect, it is way more than what I'd ever imagined.
Yeah, I think so. And it became a Harvard case study, and it just became such a big phenomena that every corporate wanted to study and invest in. And it's just gone really far.
Yes,
I think,
yes, it has.
The dedication that the company had in the beginning. So I am just curious to see, are there professionals, autism experts who are hired at SAP who help with the transition for these adults on the spectrum into the workforce? Or is it just co-workers who help them learn the job? How do you work?
Very good question. In fact, as I said, the challenge that SAP faced, Savita, is that it is a global program. So it's not run in India or US alone. It's run in China, Argentina, all parts of the world. And you have to understand that disability is so different in all parts of the world, right? And we realize that we are not the experts in autism. SAP is a technology company. We don't understand that space as well as many others do. So we have local partnership in every country. So we tie up with a nonprofit in that country. For example, in India, we tied up with an organization called Enable India. And they work in the disability space. They are probably one of the best nonprofits in that space. We, you know, we worked with them. So they help us both in selection as well as in assessing and as well as in being involved with the people on the spectrum throughout their careers at SAP. So they come and talk to them every month. They have various sessions and so on. But along with the nonprofit, we, of course, have a volunteer group which personally takes care of the progression of the people on the spectrum.
Okay, so there is a bunch of altruistic individuals in the company who volunteer to be supports and mentors.
Absolutely. You know, there are so many, you know, just the numbers are staggering, Savita. 1% of the world's population are people on the spectrum. So in a company of the size of SAP, you will always find people who have a personal connect with the cause. You know, either they have their kids on the spectrum or siblings or friends. And so, you know, finding volunteers was actually never a problem. We had more people than we wanted to support in this journey.
Oh, that is so good to hear. That is really good to hear. And in fact, the whole purpose of my podcast is just to create these opportunities where it's not just the people on the spectrum who are benefiting from this, but it's also those who are family members of people on the spectrum who just see a purpose greater than themselves to add to the
Absolutely.
World.
And you know what was interesting, Savita, we found that the teams that hired people on the autism spectrum, we had data to substantiate that, had higher engagement and higher fulfillment in the various surveys that we did. So people felt much more belonged. People felt that they had a purpose. People felt that they were contributing in ways that you know, sometimes we were pretty surprised. So I think a lot of times, especially when you're working in the corporate world, you are always looking for what is the business benefit, right? Because we were very clear from the beginning that the purpose of doing this is not charity. It is not to just dole out some, you know, goodwill messages to the external world. It is not PR, but the fact that there is a business benefit. And the highlight for me in probably the last 7 or 8 years since we started the autism program at SAP was in 2019, when every year at SAP, we have something called the Founders Award, which is the highest award given to a team for innovation. And in 2019, SAP made an exception and gave an award to an individual. And guess what? The individual was hired as part of the Autism at Work program in Argentina. And for me, that was the happiest moment that while it took time, it proved that what started as a small volunteering effort in Bangalore had a ripple effect in Argentina where, this person wouldn't have ever got a job, but not only did he get a job at SAP, he won probably the most prestigious award in SAP for innovation. And so that for me was an incredibly satisfying moment to see that we proved that there is business benefit to doing this.
Wow, so it wasn't just goodwill of people that gave them opportunities, but they actually the individuals on the spectrum proved
Absolutely.
themselves. So you founded the India Inclusion Foundation with the vision of creating an inclusive India with no one left behind. How do you see that happening in your lifetime? What are your plans for the
So,
future?
the reason I started the India Inclusion Foundation was not to just focus on autism, but the entire disability community. And during my work, what I really found, the reason why India hasn't made as much progress, especially in the disability space, as many other countries like US and UK, is because each of these disabilities are fighting their own battles, right? So what I felt was if you are blind, you don't relate to a person on the autism spectrum or a person who has cerebral palsy, right? They assume these are different communities. And my realization was the biggest enemy of the disability community is the disability community itself, right? They have what I call as a scarcity mindset, which means that my community will only be successful at the cost of somebody else because our pie is limited, right? Now, with that mindset, you are not going to drive change, a large scale change in communities. So my whole idea is we need to shift the narrative and really make people realize that think from an abundance point of view, that there's enough for everyone. Okay? And once you start thinking there's enough for everyone, you really start collaborating with every other disability community. And there was no platform which brought all these communities together. And that's why I built the India Inclusion Summit, where I said, I want the person, I want the communities working for autism, with blind, with visual impairment, with cerebral palsy, with mental health, all of them to come together and share their best practices and inspire each other and learn from each other. And that's the only way that societies make progress. And that was the core idea of starting the India Inclusion Foundation. And, the summit is a flagship event which happens in November in Bangalore. But we do a lot of other things, including running fellowships for artists, running fellowship for entrepreneurs, and so on and so forth. But the core idea, Savita, here is to get all the disabled communities together to work towards a common goal, which is to lift the entire community and make them part of mainstream.
That is so wonderful. Yeah, that's so wonderful. And then the larger the community, the closer they are to the mainstream in a way. And then a lot of people in the mainstream are going to blend in with this as people become aware of their own, diversity,
Absolutely.
neurodiversity, I think. Yeah. So occupational therapists, physical therapists, speech therapists, and specialty teachers work extensively with individuals with disabilities. And I'm just curious to see if you have thought of mobilizing these people to play a role in India Inclusion Foundation. Do they have
Yeah,
a
very, very, very good question, and I think very thoughtful question as well. As of now, a lot of the work that we do at the foundation are done by volunteers from the tech industry. However, we include schools, we include special ed teachers. In fact, we just launched something called the Inclusion for Youth because our realization was that if you really want to do drive change, you have to focus on the youth and the schools. And so this year in 2020, actually last year, we launched something called Inclusion for Youth, where we drove awareness across 500 schools in India. And so that's where we started conversations with school headmasters and principals and so on, so that we start spreading the idea of inclusion and neurodiversity at schools already, which already to a large extent happens in the US, but it doesn't really happen in India.
No, it doesn't. So, okay, just want to share some statistics for our listeners. So in the United States, 14% of public school students receive special education services. The average cost of educating a special education student each year is $26,000 versus $9,000 for a general education student. That's three times more. However, the employment rate is 19.3%, and this includes individuals with disabilities across the spectrum from mild learning disabilities to profound disabilities. Youth arose in a matter of 4 years, brought about the possibility of employment of 1% of SAP's entire workforce. I should say possibility of employment of a lot of people on the spectrum in the workforce globally. Or for individuals on the spectrum, right? So these adults who otherwise would have spent most of their time playing video games and browsing the internet. This is, of course, inspiring. Now, many people want to make a difference and be supportive, but don't know how. So what thoughts do you have?
This is actually what I felt was the biggest challenge, Savita, that people are good and well-intentioned. People want to make a difference, but most of the times they don't know where to start, right? And my ask has always been that start extremely small. Don't go out with a mission that I have to change the world. I think it has to start with changing yourself, right? Do a very small act where you can, support a person with special needs. I'm sure if you have somebody in the family or friend circle, be more sensitive, try to understand, try to volunteer. I think every small step makes a big, big, big difference. And I'm a great believer that, inclusive schools makes children sensitive about differently abled kids at such a young age that from a mindset point, these kids are already inclusive. It's the adults who are not, right? Kids are super inclusive. And I want to kind of share a very simple example of what happened just a few days ago. I was actually had gone for a drive with Vivan, and I had I'd gone to a gas station to fill gas in my car. And after I filled up gas, I had to go very quickly to pay to the cashier. Of course, Vivan was sitting in the car, and I obviously locked it and so on. And when I came back, I found that Vivan was not in the car. It just took me 2 minutes to do it. And he had just managed to open the door. And he walked outside to another place. And I found that there was this incredible young man who was, absolutely comfortable talking to him, chatting him, holding his hands. And, and then slowly walking with him and leaving him at the car. And, I was very nervous and profusely apologized for the inconvenience, and I thanked him for, being so nice to Vivan. And he said, Feroz, no problem. I mean, I've grown up in an inclusive class. I know kids who are different. I understood. As soon as I saw him, I knew he was probably on the spectrum because he was not speaking. And he was just able to deal with it as if nothing happened, right? How did that happen? Because he was aware, because he was sensitive, because he grew up in an environment where he absolutely understood that people are different. And there was no panic at all. It was like, this is normal. And that is where I saw the power of sensitizing, especially school children at an early age. Because when they grow up, it becomes extremely normal for them, right? And there can be no substitute to, building schools that are inclusive, because that's how we move the needle in the society.
Very, very true. Very, very true. And your experience just gives me goosebumps because, this is every parent's fear, okay, out there.
Absolutely.
You were lucky that you found somebody who was, aware.
Yeah.
What if it was a stranger, and could have, you know, things could have been different. But yes, yeah, I think having that awareness and that knowledge, as well as, you know, the values that we have to instill to our students today, is quite important. Yeah. So now you and your family are based off of California, right? So the laws in this country mandate education in the least restrictive environment, meaning inclusion is the ideal that is aspired for. This being said, I want you to share your experience as a parent. I know you just shared one. In terms of his school life, he's attending the public school system, correct? Yeah. And what do you have to say in praise of inclusion in the U.S.? And what are some things
firstly, I'm incredibly grateful that the services that we get, especially in California, and we live in Cupertino, is just world-class. And so I really have to be, when I compare with literally no access to education he would have had if he was in India, this is, of course, that's just amazing. Having said that, there's a fundamental challenge that education systems are large, bureaucratic, slow to change, right? And that's how it is, because, as I said, this is complex. This is not easy. And everybody has a point of view when it comes to education. And so the systems typically take almost a decade to catch up. That's typically a thumb rule, right? It takes you 10 years to catch up with the latest studies and, you know, technology changes that are happening and so on and so forth. So many of the times the schools are playing catching up with the rest of the world, right? And that I find a little challenging, because you have to, if you look at it holistically, it takes a lot of time to train teachers to get up to speed with the latest needs of kids. And by the time they are trained, you know, it's already, the next thing has come up. Right, the next practice has come up. So I think the education system by default is very, very slow, even though the teachers, I think, are just world class. That's the first thing. The second, I think, you know, when I was growing up, Savita, we always had role models were teachers. If you asked a kid, what do you want to do when you want to grow up? I would say a lot of children told they want to be teachers. Right.
Yeah.
If you ask a child, what do you want to be? Well, they want to be a, you know, engineer or a doctor or an astronaut or a lawyer. Not too many people say they want to be teachers, which is very, very unfortunate, because, you know, the success of a society is only as good as the teachers are. Right? We have to put the spotlight back on teachers again. They have to be paid well. And I think that's the sad part, that we don't have the incentive systems to pay the teachers that they deserve. And I think every parent, especially in the COVID times, have realized that the real rock stars are the teachers. Because we all struggle every day with our homeschooling, right? And then I'm thinking, boy, how great. You know, how these teachers are miracle workers. We're all, you know...
I'm sure all our listeners...
No, I'm telling you, because I am a parent. Yes. I do homeschooling with my kid. I get frustrated. And I'm like, when the hell does the school reopen now, right? But it's a deep reflection that the society has to do, that we have to champion the teachers. Long-term success of a society is when teachers become the rock stars. When they are the role models. Because then you have built the future of the whole society. Then the society is in safe hands, because you've grounded them in good moral values. Right? So, you know, I hats off to all the teachers who are listening in, all special ed teachers. I really wish that the society does more to really show our appreciation and gratefulness for really, really path-breaking work that all of you are doing.
Thank you. Yeah, on behalf of all the teachers listening, I want to thank you for your kind words and your advocacy for us. So, so my final question for you, Feroz. So I listened to your interview with Alberto Sardinas, where you said that you would like to be remembered as the person who spent his life making an inclusive world where nobody's left behind. So if you were to leave us therapists, teachers, and others who work with children with disabilities with your final words of wisdom on what we can do now differently to create this world that you envision.
You know why? There's a beautiful quote which has stuck with me because it helped me get through my difficult times. And that is that, change, you should accept what you cannot change, but change what you cannot accept.
You accept what you cannot change, and
yes,
change what you cannot
as
accept.
A special needs, as a parent of a special needs child, we are often asking this question in our moments of weakness. Well, why did this happen to me? Right? Why me? Why am I struggling? And I'm sure many people go through that moments in their own ways, right? I mean, whether it's teachers, like, why am I stuck up with this raw deal? Why am I not getting paid? And why am I, why are people not sensitive? I think we all go through that phase. And my take is there are some things you can change and some things you can't, right? So accept the things that you cannot change, but change the things that you cannot accept.
Very, very wise. Very wise saying. Yeah. If only we take the efforts, we complain quite a bit, but we can put that energy into taking the effort to make the change.
Absolutely.
This world
Absolutely.
Will be a better
I'm pretty sure about that. But I think what is important when you're trying to make large scale changes is to be incredibly patient. You know, we live in a world where we expect outcomes very quickly, but change takes time. You just have to have the patience to keep doing the right things over and over and over and over again. You don't realize it once you've done it for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. Then you realize, the systems have changed, right? As I said, having done the autism, being part of the Autism at Work program for 10 years now, and I'm like, 10 years back, if anybody had told me this is where we would have reached, I would have said no chance. Right, but change has happened. So I think you have to be just, move the needle 1 degree at a time, slowly, patiently, with good intentions. And I really believe that purity of intentions is at the core of everything that drives change. Right. So once you have that, change will
very,
happen.
Very true. Thank you so much, Feroz. This means a lot personally to me to have you on the show. And I'm sure a lot of people are going to gain a lot from your insights.
Thank you, Savita. Thank you for making me part of the wonderful conversation. I wish you and all the listeners all the best. And let's hope that we build a much more inclusive society.